Hey, I'm Tom Riola, Chair of Theology at Montgomery Catholic Preparatory School.
And I'm Justin Costanza, the School President at Montgomery Catholic. And welcome to Water Cooler Catechism. And Tom, we've got a couple of young faces and beautiful voices to join us here on Water Cooler Catechism today. Father Patrick Gilbreth, parochial vicar at Holy Spirit Parish here in Montgomery, and Father Connor Plessela joining us, the parochial vicar at St. Bede Church here in Montgomery. And so we're going to really dominate from the capital of dreams today, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the deception of money. And so this is not your financial hour. This is not Wall Street News. This is going to be, we're going to go all the way back to Revelation, and Father Patrick's going to bring us some words from the good book. But let's talk a little bit today about how money can be so deceiving in this culture of material things.
Yeah, Justin, I think this is a obviously a very pertinent topic for a lot of people is the state of the culture and how we're taken up by it, and how sometimes what the culture tries to offer us is not truly what we as Catholics need to be doing and living. And recently in the lectionary, we had a very beautiful reading, as you said, from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3. You've probably heard bits and pieces of this before, and these are very famous quotes, obviously, from the Apostle John, but I just want to read a little bit of it and then kind of be a launching point for what we're going to talk about today. So this is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write this. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the source of God's creation, says this. I know your works. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and affluent and have no need of anything, and yet do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments to be put on so that your shameful nakedness may not be exposed, and by ointment to smear on your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and chastise. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter his house and dine with him, and he with me. I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne, as I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, that was from the book of Revelation. I think a very good way to set the tone for this conversation of lukewarmness and indifference in our faith. So Tom, maybe set the stage here.
Well, yeah, we had talked in a recent show about tithing and how tithing goes beyond merely just financial giving. It's part of that. It's a significant part of it. But it's something that we have been talking about a lot, which is it's the gift of self. It's the whole self, right? It's holding nothing back. And I think that's the thing that our Lord is getting at. I mean, those are some of the most strongest, powerful, quite frankly, painful words in all of Scripture. You know, be something, but don't just sit there and kind of be on the side of the road, you know, not taking a stand, hedging your bets, if you will, which I think a lot of times we see that in culture. We see that in the church. We kind of take a step back and we observe, and we're passers-by, and I think our Lord is getting right to the heart of it and say, are you in or are you out? Very important for us to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful part. It gets straight to indifference. We can talk about tithing, talk about time, talent, treasure, talk about all that. But I think the core of it is indifference, right? That's in the book of Revelation right there, like Father Patrick just said and read from, you know, because you were neither hot nor cold. You know, it's either do this or don't do it. But don't give me a, yeah, I'm about it, but not right now. Or, yeah, I'm about it, but not about all of it, right? I'm a pick and choose what I'm about when it comes to the faith. Either yes or no. Give me a yes or no, right? But if you give me a maybe, well, there's not much to go with, right? If there's no, then all right, we can have a conversation, you know? But if there's a maybe, then it's, well, you just don't care, right? We don't have the energy or the desire to go further than that. And I think that's the true evil with it. There's no desire, true desire to go deeper. And if it's no, then okay, all right, well, let's talk about why no. If it's maybe, if it's yes, but nah, I don't know, then it's okay, well, there's no desire, you know, and that's the apathy, and that's the lukewarmness. I think that's one of the biggest evils we face.
I think so often in our life of faith, I think, you know, we can all relate to this idea that true richness, kind of like Father Connor was saying, like, is not about, you know, being indifferent, not about just having like a transactional view of the faith. Like, I'm going to put this much in and I only want to get this much out. Like, being truly rich, like the apostle's talking about in Revelation, being truly like fulfilled in our faith is giving it all, you know, like giving our whole life, making sure that we're not living a life that is indifferent. We're not living a life that is anything but like a true self-sacrifice that empties us in order to be made rich with what truly matters, because anything of the earth will truly let us down. And that's kind of the paradoxical nature of our faith, is like anything that we think on this earth that will satisfy us that is not from the Lord, whether that be money or power or fame or whatever, it's like that is truly things that will leave us empty and naked, as we read in Revelation. Because living a life of faith wholeheartedly is giving up everything so that we can be filled with what God has to give us.
Yeah, and let's be honest with ourselves. You know, we all work in a high school setting, and I'll lump us all into that. So fathers, you guys are here at the high school almost every day, and one of you is literally here every day. You guys are so in tune with what's going on in the lives of these young people. And so as we listen to Water Cooler Catechism, it's not just our young adults and our high school students, but, you know, the idea of this show is that we talk about things you could talk about in the office, standing around at the water cooler. How do we turn our faith into something that we can understand? Or what are these hot button issues in our faith that we can understand? And this is a tough topic, let's be honest. This is probably not something that is being discussed readily at a lot of water coolers throughout the diocese. So let's turn it into... Or let's present it in a way that it presents itself in real life. Our students deal with a culture that is telling them the opposite of everything we just said. Our students live in a culture where driving the nicest car, wearing the nicest clothes, living in the nicest house is the most important. Is that what we are talking about when we talk about true wealth? And how do we switch the brain signals in the minds of a lay person, in the minds of a young adult, in the mind of a high school student? What has to happen in their life to really understand this juxtaposition?
Well, you know, Justin, I think one of the things, and you and I both know this in a deeply profound way as educators, and both of you know this, Father Connor and Father Patrick, as priests, because in a very real sense, you also are educators. You can't teach people something they think they already know. And I think one of the problems that you run into, and as you were saying this, as you were articulating it so beautifully, the counter message. Far too many in our culture think they know more than they really know, especially when it comes to faith, issues of faith. And that's always dangerous, because just prior to what Father Patrick read, you have the situation in the church in Sardis where our Lord says, you think you're rich, but in reality is you're poor. You have nothing. You have nothing. And I think sometimes, and I love this image Archbishop Sheen talks about, you know, the founder of AA, whose name escapes me right now, but one of the things that AA talks about and one of the things that Archbishop Sheen talked about is you cannot begin to move forward until you recognize that you've hit bottom. And until you hit bottom, you are going to deceive yourself. And that's kind of how I take it when I read that passage.
Yeah, definitely, Tom. I think, you know, like Justin said, like posing it in that way, like working with our young people, you know, obviously we don't want them to hit rock bottom. But in a lot of ways, in high school is the time where, you know, a young person really, you know, makes decisions and really like learns the consequences of decisions. And I think seeing that our lives are a little more fragile than you know, we think. We're not as invincible as we think. Like, the things that we do actually have spiritual consequences. You know, that is kind of the first step in kind of living a life that is not indifferent, is realizing, just like you said, Tom, that, you know, we need to get our strength from God. And like, that is a big lesson that everyone, you know, has to learn at some point in their life. That is like the key question of the development of faith of any young person, is learning like who we really depend on ourselves or on God. And if we don't depend on God, then we will fail. And you know, a lot of young people kind of experience that in different ways. And obviously not at Montgomery Catholic, every student has perfect, you know, reputations, but we have to realize who we depend on. And if we don't, you know, we'll fail sometimes, and learning those lessons is good.
you know, it might be a stretch to continue to include something like AA in this, but, you know, you mentioned Bill W. and the philosophies of AA and how we have this opportunity. We have this opportunity to hold our friends accountable. Okay, so let's pause there. Let's not get into Alcoholics Anonymous, but let's talk openly about the fact that there is great success in having accountability, and there's great success in having someone say to you, I've been where you are before. I know what you're dealing with. What you are telling yourself is false, and this is how we lift ourselves. As you mentioned, Tom, sometimes you got to be at the bottom to be able to come back up. So if we take that philosophy, what are we doing as priests and what are we doing as a school to hold our students accountable, to hold our lay people accountable? There's only so much we can do from the pulpit for you guys. There's only so much we can say from the podium in the classroom. What are the ways that we turn this in our society?
Yeah, I think it gets to two points here, Father Patrick, and then Justin, as you were just talking. I think the two points that we can kind of jump from are, one, what is the priority, right? This, I think, is at the core of the issue, is what are our priorities? You know, we're indifferent because we don't really know what our priorities are, or we're indifferent to the faith because our priorities are something else. Our priorities are to be monetarily wealthy or to have the nicest, to do the nicest, right? That kind of stuff. So the priorities, we can focus on that at great length. But then the second is, this is a lived experience, right? We can teach it. You can say it all you want. We could preach about it, right? And we do. All of us do that. But if it's not you really learn it by living it, right? You learn that, oh, okay, this is not fulfilling, just like Mr. Riello said in class. You know, this is not fulfilling, just like I saw Mr. Costanza live out and talk to us about, right? This is really not fulfilling, just like I heard fathers talk about from the homily, right? And it's a lived experience. And so how do we get it across? How we get the point across, I think, ultimately goes back to forming the ministerial relationship. And not just as father to student, right? But just as an institution to the student. But forming those ministerial relationships. Ministry is a relationship. Because if I see the example of my youth minister or my campus minister or my teacher, if I see them fulfilled, but I'm 16 and 17 and 18 years old, well, I'm going to seek my fulfillment how I'm going to seek it, right? But at some point, if I get to a point where I realize this is not it, then I go back to what I learned. I go back to the relationships that I had in high school that these students have here. I go back to what they had and I think, that's what I want. That's it, right? They were right. And hopefully we get them now where they realize, yeah, I trust you and I think you're right. So I'm going to jump on this ship, right? But it might end up being freshman year in college where they're like, man, they were right. Like, they are right. Okay, let's get into it. A great example, he can tell his story next time he's on at some point. Soon to be Father Alex Crow, God willing, right? A great example of this. Saw Dan Johnson as the campus minister and realized that, man, I want that, but I don't know what it is. And then into college, he realizes, I know what it was. He was right. Every time he talked to me, he was right. And here he is following the Lord's will.
Yeah. We got to continue to plant those seeds so that when they realize they're there and they're in the soil ready to grow. And one of the places that you can allow your seeds to grow is by listening right here on Archangel Radio. Tom?
Absolutely, Justin. Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Down in the city by the bay, as I like to say. I'm going to name Mobile the city by the bay. How about that?
And so original, Tom. So original.
Yeah, that is right. Legend in my own mind there. We make the suits happy down in at Archangel Radio, we mentioned that you are listening to Water Cooler Catechism on Archangel Radio. And, you know, the Archangel Radio app is my favorite way to listen because we live up here in the capital of dreams in Montgomery, so we don't have terrestrial abilities. You could also listen online at archangelradio.com, and you also get to listen to great shows, not just Water Cooler Catechism, but one of my favorite shows to kind of get plugged into the diocese is Archbishop Brody's show, the Archbishop Show. One of the great things about Archangel Radio is that it has really shrunk the diocese. You really do not appreciate, I think, how big this diocese really is. You know, you go all the way out to Phoenix City and you go all the way down to, you know, Mobile and right up to the Mississippi line and Alabama Mississippi line south and all the way up to just past, you know, Auburn. And it's just amazing how big our diocese is. And Archangel Radio does an amazing job of shrinking the diocese.
Thank you, Archangel Radio, and thank you, Father Patrick, for continuing our conversation.
Yeah, Tom just mentioned suits, and speaking of suits, I wish you had a webcam in our studio here because Mr. Tom Riello is wearing a suit that would put anyone to shame wearing a suit. He is very well-dressed, and I have a point with this because we were joking in show prep about how when he put on a suit this morning, his wife was telling him, you know, you need to wear this, you need to look sharp. He was recording something today. And I think there's a beauty in that that we haven't yet hit on in this question of indifference, the beauty of the ideal of the family and how the mom and the dad need to set the standard and the beauty for their children, right? So Tom putting on a dapper suit that is chosen together by mom and dad can model for his kids how it is not a good thing to be indifferent. Like, you have to be able to put on that good suit, obviously analogous to the faith. Right, so I think the importance of the family is something that we can kind of pivot to talk about here, because that is where our young people especially learn how not to be indifferent. Right, mom and dad forming the family, forming their children. That's where it begins, and that's where it starts. And Father Connor is very much evidence of this. You know, coming from a family who very much modeled the faith for them in a good way, like a very good dapper suit, like Mr. Riello is wearing right now.
The Plessela is also known as the well-dressed. Go ahead, Father Connor.
Yeah, you know, Dad's going to hear. Dad might hear this and think, "Well, I guess scrubs are a great suit." Then, you know, no, but I think that's a beautiful point to pivot to. The family. There was a study a couple years ago that proved that parents are the greatest influence in a child's life until the child's about 60 years old. So, if we look at that, what that means. That means the entirety of the child's life where their parents are around, are alive, the parents are the single greatest influencer in their life. Does that mean they're going to turn out exactly like their parents? No. Does that mean they're not going to be influenced by other things? No, not at all. But it does mean parents are the primary educators. It's almost as if Holy Mother Church understands this, right, and understands the truth. Parents model this, and parents, if you think about what your childhood, when you look back and think, what did you care about when you were a kid? I'll bet at least 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, were about what your parents cared about. Or, to prove the point further, you knew exactly what the priorities of your parents were. You knew what your parents cared about, right? If we take examples, if you knew, you were very well aware if your parents cared about going to church. Therefore, unless something changes when you start having kids, church is probably not going to be a priority because it never was for you. Why would it be now? Right? Or Alabama football. That's probably going to be a priority for you if your dad never gave it up. Right? Or that was the biggest thing in his life. Or your mom being whatever. Right? It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever the priorities are, they're obvious. And kids can tell. And kids will be formed that way. You know, we talk about formation of kids. We talk about building these ministerial relationships. You know, sometimes we want our ministry to be incredibly, perfectly fruitful in this moment where they go on a retreat and then we see everything change and then everybody's all hunky-dory and it's all great, right? But some of these things take years. That's the exact same thing with formation of our kids and formation of your kids. This is not a one-time have a conversation and then, all right, boom, now my priorities are fixed. Now I'm not indifferent. Now I understand, right? You have to see this played out. You have to see this play out over time. And that's why it's essential to be done in the family first and foremost. It can't just be done in a classroom with Mr. Riello. It can't just be done in one confessional with us. It has to be done in the family day in and day out.
You know, you talk about this perfect situation we're trying to create, and as you say those words, of course, we are here in a school building, and the school bell sounds in the background, and the bustling voices
of
students
of the kids, right,
are coursing through the hallways. The slam of the door that is squealing for more oil slams in the background, and we are reminded that even though we present perfectly each day for these students in these hallways, you know, they're going to be faced with the imperfection of the culture around them. And I love the way both fathers you mentioned in your own family and in our families and in this mother church too, we have an opportunity to not lose sight. We have an opportunity, as you mentioned, Father, for 60 years in the life of a child, the parent is the primary influence. And here we realize, you know, in high school, so many of our parents, and if you're a parent of a high school student listening to this, so many of you are just completely focused on, my baby is leaving the nest. And we think that we are losing, we think that we're losing this precious gift that God has placed in our care now for 18 years. But really what we're saying is, now is probably the most tumultuous time in their life, and you cannot check out. You may be shifting roles from the role of disciplinarian. You may be the one checking on curfew. You may be the one telling them yes and no for their social events. But you shift possibly to a role of encourager. You shift to a role where the faith cannot be lost, and you do need to still hold them accountable. You may not be punishing them, so to speak, but you hold your children accountable in life, and you don't allow the small missteps to grow into larger chasms in their faith life, and then that grows into their social life, because the result of that, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, is exactly what we were preaching about today at the start of the show, is that the world's perspective on true wealth and what is good and what is valuable, we could really use the word valuable instead of wealth there, that shifts and that changes.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that we've been trying to stress, you know, here in school, right? It's funny because when we heard the kids and we just started laughing here in studio, the hum. You have to, folks, if you haven't been in a school in a long, long time, you walk into a school setting, especially in a high school where you hear the halls are alive, and then you get into class. The same kids that were just perked up as if they had just had 20 cups of coffee coming to class. Can I use the restroom? They raise, right? And I think that's one of the things, right? It's in there, right? And I love, I'm a big, and Father Connor's going to laugh, and Father Patrick's going to laugh, because they already know where I'm going, and Justin knows where I'm going, and even John, our producer, knows where I'm going. Jusani, baby. Our job, even Archangel Radio, they know who Jusani is now. It's amazing. It's there. It's there. The provocation that I'm called to as a teacher in the classroom, that you're called to as a president of our incredible institution since 1873, to both Father Connor and Father Patrick, is to awaken within us what lies hidden within. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge.
And I think that fits very well with the last part of Revelation that we hadn't gotten to yet, the reading that I read. The Lord is knocking on the door of our hearts. The Lord is knocking on the door of our hearts actively, every day, every minute, every moment, right now. Like, the Lord is desperately desiring to enter into our indifference, to enter into our family, to enter into all of these things, into the world, into individuals, into the church. And I think that's the beautiful thing about what Tom, you're saying with Jusani. Like, this idea is so foundational. And the moment that we let him in, what happens? He dines with us. He comes into our most intimate and vulnerable places and takes away those things that get in the way of us giving our heart completely to him and not being indifferent.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly beautiful. And going back to this reading was from Tuesday, from 2 days ago, and that same gospel was about Zacchaeus, right? And Bishop Barron had a beautiful reflection on it, and he said, I kind of spun this off, he says, Jesus dines with him, but he doesn't wait to dine with him until he's perfect, right? Jesus, in his grace, is the one doing the work of conversion, right? You allow Christ into the mess, into the filth, because he wants to be there. He wants to bring the light where the darkness is. He doesn't say, you fix it all first, and then I'll come in when it's all peaceful and it's just a nice meadow and we can go skipping. No, he says, let me enter on the descent. Let me enter as you're falling down and let me go, and then the grace can do its work, right? The Lord is knocking, and it's not that we have to prove to these kids that this is something. It's not we have to win them over and convince them. It's no, we know it's there.
Like, we know you're not fulfilled right now. And we could talk this to, we could say this to anybody. This is not just a high school thing. If we're real with ourselves, unfulfillment and unsatisfaction, I don't know if those are words, but they are now, unfulfillment is not just a phenomenon to adolescents. That's ridiculous to think that. That's incredibly prideful to think that, oh, well, it's just kids who don't understand what they want in life. It's just kids who don't really understand. Right? If we look around, that's our own experience.
It is. And I think it really drives home for someone who is trying to appreciate why Jesus Christ came to this world and lived among us. Let's wrap it back to that. For the reasons you just said, Father Connor, Jesus was God's son who came to live amongst the human people. God sent his only son, not as some savior from above in golden robes, but as a baby, as a child born in a manger amongst the filth that you mentioned. He grew up both human and divine, but totally human and totally divine in a way that allowed him to see the world the way that God's people saw the world, a way that God's people could see God's love in their lives, not as some king on a hill. In fact, today we were even talking about the Christ the King celebration and sitting around in your lunch campus ministry Bible study and talking about the difference between Christ the King and this typical image that our high school students have of a king on a hill in golden robes with beautiful jewels and crown, untouchable, unreachable. And Christ did the opposite of that. He came and dwelled among us, and from among us, he saves us, he loves us, and he gives an opportunity to be real in that. And so thank you for joining us right here on Water Cooler Catechism, where 27 and a half minutes is never enough time to delve into these topics. Thank you to Father Connor and Father Patrick. For Tom Riello, I'm Justin Costanza, and thanks for tuning in to Water Cooler Catechism.